What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside me is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, everybody? What's up, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another episode here with us, and we're going to be talking about some new things coming up. But first, before we get to that, if you guys could do so, if you find it in your hearts to head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube and make sure you hit that subscribe button for us, further help us support this channel. And we are soaring. We are well above 10,000. We are eclipsing 11,000. We are on our way, everybody. And thanks to you out there that have supported us up to this point and to continue to support. Much appreciated. Jim, how you doing, bro?
Good, good, man. Things are very busy. Things are going on, shaking and baking with the NFL now. We've got the spring meetings that have been going down now, the owners, the spring league meetings, again, kicking back off. Everything that was kind of set aside for late tabled from before in March, and now is coming about here. So they're all meeting tonight and stuff. And we already found out, too, now that already the NFL has approved that the players can play flag football now in the upcoming Olympics here coming up, 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Now that's pretty exciting here. We know flag football. We love it here. Joe, you play, you're an owner, a coach, you know, so it's gotta be super exciting for you to see this now.
Absolutely. And it's just like another way, especially like how flag football has grown immensely over the last few years in terms of the pro level of it, in terms of schools now getting involved. Colleges, high schools, it's just becoming a great phenomenon at this point. And now it has eclipsed and reached the summit of the Olympics. How cool is that? And what's another cool nugget is the fact that even though it is awesome to hear that the NFL players are going to have a option, if they want to pursue it, they could go and become part of the Olympics to compete as with the U.S. of A. But the other cool thing is that this all makes sense in terms of, like, look at all the other sports that the U.S. is involved in the Olympics. Hockey, they have their pro athletes compete, you know, any sport at all, you know, and now they're starting to integrate flag football for the first time, which it was kind of almost like a foregone conclusion that this was going to happen. Like, you have to give your U.S. athletes a chance to you know, show up for their country and compete to be the best. Look at basketball. We've dominated basketball in the NBA with our American athletes that come over to play as USA, and they dominated in that sport. Like, why not put our best athletes out there for our country, like every other country does?
Right. And what's funny, I think, about flag football, though, too, and the fact that it's just becoming an Olympic sport in 2028, is that it's football, but it's not the way the NFL is played. So it's a bit different. So players have a unique skill, I would say, as a flag player, as opposed to NFL players. Yes, NFL players are definitely, you know, very good athletes and premier athletes are what they do, but it's a bit of a different game. So it's pretty interesting, and you kind of see the differences when these guys go to play in the Pro Bowl now, which has become a flag game. So, and they don't even barely even play in that game. So it's kind of funny, and I'm interested to see, one, who kind of signs up for this whole thing, because teams can only allow one player per team to participate, and I don't know how that's even selected too. I don't know if there's all of a sudden a vote that goes up somehow, or the NFL does, or whatever. There's tryouts, but so you could do represent, you know, the U.S., but then also your whatever country you would like to represent too. You know, if your heritage is from elsewhere, but I'm interested to see how much players really put into it, because it's not like the Pro Bowl where they're just trying to keep control of their bodies. They don't want to be injured, things, because they've got the season to go. But the fact that is playing for your country and there's pride there, I don't think players are going to be lax. It's a real competition. You're playing the best of the best in the rest of the world. So I don't see them laying off on what they're going to do and push forward on this, though. But I'm interested to see what the performance is like and if they are at all worried about potentially getting injured in this game or these games.
The thing about it all is if they're going to go and compete as Americans for their country, they're going all out.
Mm-hmm.
But the other caveat of that is, like you mentioned, one player per roster is allowed to go and compete. But with that player, whoever that they decide that that is, whether it be in, it's got to be within the team that decides that who they're going to put up to go and compete, you know, as Americans. But the thing is, you're going to miss training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss training camp because you have to practice to be a flag player. It, like you mentioned, it's similar. Yes, it stems from football, but altogether, it's a different sport. Like, it's not tackling. It's grabbing a flag. You know, it can be physical and all that, but still, the object of the goal is to grab the flag, not to tackle the person. And then there's different rules altogether. Because it is a different sport, the rules are completely different as well. You know what I mean? You can't smack the ball out of a guy's hand, you know, unlike in the NFL. You know, there's other rules on how to line up. You know what I mean? It's not like a freelance where you can just go wherever you want to go. Now, travel and travel flag or pro level flag, there's not really any restrictions on the defensive side. But again, this is the Olympics. What's to say that they're going to play by travel rules? They can make their own rules up that it's what they want to see on the field. So it's going to be interesting to see not just who from each team is going to represent the U.S. in the Olympics, but it's also going to be interesting to see how this all gets put together in the Olympics. You know, do they still adopt the travel rules like we mentioned before, or do they kind of customize the rules for the Olympics? So it might be a little bit different for everybody to get used to. But there is going to be practice. And I'll tell you this right now, just because we have some of our best athletes show up, whoever that may be, doesn't mean that they're going to be great at flag football. I know it sounds crazy to say, but again, I've seen a college football player leave college, you know, was hanging around, joined our league, and struggled to try to get and adapt to the flag game. Phenomenal athlete, but had a hard time grabbing flags, you know, just wasn't sure what the rules are, you know, because they're different. So it's happened before, but I mean, that all being said, they already have a big step forward in terms of how their speed, their strength, their athletic ability already. Now you just have to teach them the basics, the fundamentals of the game, and then teach them the rules after that. So I think it's going to be interesting altogether, like to see how the Olympics, how they view flag football, how what rules are going to implement. Are they going to be customized at all? Are they going to just rip off the rules from travel, from the travel side of things, or, you know, and to see what the team is going to look like. Because, honestly, it's not just the NFL players going, too.
Yeah.
Think about it this way. They're actually having tryouts, open tryouts. If you think you're that good at flag, go try out. You know, who knows? You might make the team. You know,
yeah, that's the thing, too, is there's only limited spots on a flag team. It's not like, you know, an NFL team where you got a 53-man roster and things like that. There's only so many guys that can be on the field at once, too. So there's a lot of competition out there and specific, like, flag-specific players that are some of the best in the world.
So, like, some of the great flag players across the nation should be competing. There's a guy in my league by the name of C.J. Tarver. A lot of people might know him locally, but a lot of people know him in the travel circuit. And he is a difference maker. He's kind of one of those guys that I could envision seeing him go and try out for the Olympic team because he's that damn good at flag football. And there's going to be guys like him that I think are all going to be trying out. You know, we want to send our best anyway. So
yeah,
the more the merrier at tryouts.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's positive that they opened the door for this again, but there's so many different things weighing on all of it. I think they opened the door just so they could have the opportunity to do this, but then they can also send ambassadors of the game to the Olympics and around or whatever. Yes, this one's going to be in Los Angeles. I get that, but to be on the world stage to see this type of sport and have ambassadors there along with it, it's another way that the NFL is promoting this, not only by sending ownership and things to be able to advertise in other countries, but you're actually seeing players, you're actually seeing the game played to an extent and producing and promoting it that way. And like you said, having ambassadors there to be a part of it. So it should be interesting to see how it goes, you know, and you know, even in flag, that even in the local, that it is tough when guys aren't getting playing time. So I can imagine the NFL players, you know, they complain on a 53-man roster when they're not getting playing time. Imagine now on a limited, you know, flag roster, and all of a sudden they're not getting plugged in there on occasion or something. Or, no, I don't need rest, just play me the whole time, you know. So yeah. It would be interesting, but I think they opened the door because I think that's they have so many other opportunities. It will be interesting to see, though, how many people actually make the team or what they do. So,
yeah, it might not be, like, I have a hard time believing it's going to be any big, big names. Like,
yeah.
You know, like Tyreek Hill or Jaden Daniels. Or even
they're having Justin Jefferson because they are doing it in Minnesota right now. So he's kind of being the poster guy, the poster child for this. And they've asked him a few different times because it's not going to be until 2028.
Right.
Oh, you're going to be on this team, right? Or are you going to go? No, and he's like, I don't know. It's 3 years from now. No.
Here's the thing. When it comes time, mm-hmm. I cannot foresee any like high end player that is a difference maker for said team going mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah. No, neither do I.
See it. You're going to probably see guys that are maybe backups mm-hmm. on the roster, but are still good players. Like, I think those are going to be the ones that you might see end up going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that would be a perfect opportunity, again, to do, at least, if anything, a highlight in your career. You might be the playing special teams for an NFL team, but all of a sudden, if you're an Olympic, you know, gold medalist, you can hang that above everything. There you go. You know what I'm saying?
Not many people
put that on your trophy mantle, right? So a bunch is going down. It is the league spring meetings again. Chime in. Tell us what you guys think about the flag that's been approved. There's other approvals that are going to go down tonight that we don't know about yet. We'll let you know as they unveil, but it's still fun to talk about them. And let's get into one of the biggest ones here that you and I think last time we talked about this back in March, it got pretty heated on this. But let's see what happens here with ownership, because, again, as I've dug in a little bit more on some of this too, you're learning more that with the playoff alignment and the reseeding, at the start of the playoffs, you know, the Lions had made a little stipulation on this and changed some of the verbiage on this. But I have also learned that Roger Goodell is the main pusher of this, and they're just using the Lions as kind of like the team to kind of force it here. And under this proposal, seven teams in each conference will make the champions or will make the playoffs with four division champions, three wildcard teams. However, the big change is that teams will be seeded by who has the best record after the season's over. So under this proposal, a wild card team could be seeded ahead of a division winner if the wild card team has a better record. There's also a chance that division winners could be playing road games now, too, in the wild card round instead of automatically getting the spot, which isn't possible under the current format. So if this proposal would have taken place in 2024, the NFC playoffs would have looked much different, changing seedings in here and there with the Bucs and everybody here at the bottom parts. Potentially, again, the Vikings, you know, don't get blown out, and you know, it's a tougher, you know, situation, you know, for a couple other teams. So,
yeah, you never know, and that's the thing is now that we're getting further details that are being leaked out, if you want to call it that, or just being reported. Now it's kind of all coming together now. Now we have a clear vision of what it was before. Before it was kind of like a knee-jerk reaction, like, oh my God, they're getting rid of, like, what? Like, it doesn't matter what the division winner is. Doesn't matter what – it's just based on record. Like, that's kind of what the initial thinking was. And rightfully – and you're right to think that, because when you hear that they're going to just say, oh, no, it's best record no matter what, it makes you believe that, like, are they completely destroying the original structure of what we have in place? So now that that's not the case, mm-hmm. and now that we have more, you know, details and more information, now it seems to make a lot more sense the way they're projecting it. So, yes, you're still going to have division winners, but the better records below them are going to dictate who makes the playoffs and who doesn't. So I think it makes a lot of sense if that's the direction they want to go. Now, you can argue both ways. You can say, like, oh, well, what happens with strength of schedule? You know, well, this team was like second in the division, but they had a weak schedule. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to view them as a, you know, double digit winner. They deserve to be in before anybody else. You know, so like, you're going to have those arguments. I don't think you're ever going to please everybody. But I think this is kind of one of those things where Roger Goodell, the NFL, the committee are all viewing it in the light as we want the best competition possible in the postseason. That adds to revenue, that adds to TV ratings, that adds to everything. And the best projected games we can get in the postseason means just that. We're going to have more eyes on the TV screen, and maybe it's going to boost commercials that way too, so they make more money off the top there. But in the end, I think they're headed in the right direction. I still want to see, like, the end result. Like, I really kind of want to see them do a trial run, you know, just to see, like, did it work? Did it not work? Because, like, we've seen them do this before where they make rule changes only temporary for one season to get an idea what it's going to look like in the end, and then they can make a final judgment if they see fit. So I'm curious about it. I like the way they're you know, constructing it and formatting it. So we'll see how this all shakes out. I think it might be for the best, but, again, we got to see the results.
Well, like you said, the current effort is all aimed to make late season games more interesting and trying to get more money and try and shop them to other one-offs, you know, YouTube, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, here, this is a good late week 18 game where playoffs games or teams are in there that they might be resting or might not. Maybe they won't rest now or things like that to try and make it a little more intriguing, which is also why they leave that last spot, I think, on Sunday Night Football open so that they can even change that out, you know, where they go to sub it in or not. And this is all part of it. And as far as the teams with the weak schedule and stuff like that, I think that really matters. Last year, the teams of the NFC North benefited from playing two of the weak divisions, the AFC South and the NFC West. So you can't tell me that they had an opportunity to get more wins, and you saw the difference in the playoffs. Look at the Vikings when they made it to the playoffs. It didn't matter whether they were playing at home or not. They got the shit kicked out of them. And it's just because they hadn't played real competition like that throughout the season. So I think if you go to make this change, I think you definitely need to change the schedule already. So you couldn't implement it this season. So if they decided to vote on it and they say, yeah, we can't do it now, because they've already have it set up in a certain format that they already have it set up in. They'd have to change it.
Yeah, but the schedule is always going to be whatever it is. It's not – they're not going to
– They have a formula that they use to change the to do the scheduling. And
they use AI.
No, but they have it here. And basically, this is how they set up the schedule. Number one, six games against three other teams in this division, which we already know that. Four games against all teams from another division in the conference, which rotates every year. Two games against the teams from the remaining divisions in the conference that finished in the same position the year before. First, second, third, and fourth. And then finally, four games against all teams from a division in another conference, which rotates again every year. So I think those games you need to take out. And if it matters in seeding, that you need to have more conference games then. So then you're playing more people in the NFC, so it makes more sense. And then you'll do a couple of games, maybe four games, that are, you know, or two that are interconference, you know what I mean, with somebody from the, say you're an NFC team. It's from the AFC, you play a couple of them, but that's it. And the rest is all got to be rotated through your NFC. And still, you can still do your two or whatever for your division, because division championships still matter. I think that's the way you'd have to do it. But you can't just say, hey, all of a sudden we're going to do this now, but then all of a sudden, again, another division might benefit because they're playing a terrible division. Other divisions that are tight and good,
but that's kind
have
of inevitable.
Smaller win percentages because, again, they have to do those battles back and forth. Those divisional rivalries are always close.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is like it's kind of inevitable because you're going to wind up with those situations where you're going to face a weaker team or two or three or four. And I think that every team is going to go through that. So it's kind of,
at least that helps seed your NFC though, or AFC, or your conference.
Yeah, but
that makes more sense if you're doing seeding on that.
The schedule year in and year out, it's never going to be the same exact way. Like when certain extra teams that you face. Mm-hmm. So like my thing is like, you can try to critique it as much as you want, customize it as much as you want, but you're still going to end up with some weaker teams that other stronger teams end up playing. So I don't think you're going to, there's not going to be any kind of formula that you're going to like nail down and be like, oh, this is definitely going to be competitive throughout the whole year. You're not going to face any weak teams. And that's just the name of the sport. Like there's always, it's survival of the fittest for the guys on the top versus the guys on the bottom still trying to be the guys on top. So I get what you're saying, but I just think that it's inevitable, to face weaker competition depending on what year and what team you're playing. So I think that all in all, I think this is pretty cool, to be honest. Like, at least they're trying to give a better product. You know, no one ever wants to see a postseason game where a team that even the fans on the outside are like, dude, how'd this team make it in? Are you kidding me? And then they end up getting stomped in the first round. No one wants to see that in the postseason. They want to see closer, competitive games. It makes it more exciting. So maybe this is a step in the right direction.
That very rarely happens. We've seen it last when the Seattle Seahawks won as a divisional one, and they came in late and they beat the Saints, who had a better record. So we've seen teams that come in with a lower record come in that are division winners and win.
True, but you've also seen teams with a lower record go in and get destroyed.
Not really, no.
Both ways.
Not really, no. But no, you haven't really seen that. Yeah, you said look at even the Vikings. They had a way better record, and they got the shit kicked out of them again. They got destroyed.
Okay.
So where's the yet?
Yeah.
So
it happens on both ways, just, bro.
Okay.
It happens both ways.
Okay. But this whole thing, it's not to make it better. It's about money, and that's all I care about. Every time, every decision that they do and vote on, it's all about making more money and not caring about the players, not caring about football at all. They're just keep changing rules after rules after rules to keep trying to just make more money, more money, money. It doesn't better the game. This doesn't make the game better. A lot of the rules that they're changing, you look at see what they're doing with kickoffs, which we'll talk about in a little bit too. This is not making it better. They're trying to say things are making things safer and stuff like that. They're just trying to whatever they can sell and make more money off of. So when you start caring about – you see this in business – if you start caring about the money more than what the product is or what you're putting out there or the value or the quality, you start losing things. You know what I mean? Or you start losing the vision of what you already had. And this is where the NFL is going. They've gone a mix from where they've had good product. They've built this up to where many people love the sport. We've loved it since we were children and grown up through it. And now it's changing. And they're changing it just because of money. And they're making it worse. There is really good talent out there, and there are even better, more athletic players out there. So there is some uptick in some talent too as well. But when you start caring about the money instead of the product or the players or the game in itself, I think that's a sliding slope that Goodell just – you can see that's all he really cares about.
I would say for the most part, you're right. I mean, there's certain circumstances where I don't think money does play a hand in it. I mean, when you're going through, like, kickoff changes, like, that's not a money thing at all. But it is manipulating the game and changing the game itself, where I would argue that since they've changed the kickoff, and I understand, like, they keep saying, like you mentioned, like, safety, right? That's kind of like the big topic. Like, how safe can we make this violent game? Well, did you hear the sentence that you just said? How can we make this game safe when it's violent? You can't. It doesn't matter what you change. There's still going to be injuries. There's still going to be concussions. There's still going to be, you know, things that happen later on down in, you know, when their career is over. Like, they're going to have stuff happen to their bodies because it's a violent game. You can try to change the game different ways, like kickoffs. You can change, you know, how we play special teams, how we do onsides kicks. All of that you can try to change and change how you tackle. That's even another thing. There's certain ways you can't tackle a guy anymore. You can't hit quarterbacks anymore. Like, I get they're trying to make it safe, but at the same time, you're really changing the sport that everybody fell in love with from the start. Like, kickoffs to me was the most exciting kickoffs I've ever been was when it was traditionally done. Where you got guys that are blocking on one end, you got guys lined up on kickoff on the other end. Here comes the kick. The guy gets it, and the guy tries to run his ass off to try to get to the other side. Like, not this regimented, oh, we're freaking 10 yards apart. You got a line for blocking, a line for, you know, going after the ball carrier, and then nobody can move until the guy catches the ball. Like,
yeah,
it's gotten so insanely boring, really.
Right.
And even them trying to kind of spice things up with other nuances of the game, it's just making the game overall worse. Now, if I guarantee you, if we took a poll, every NFL fan across the nation voted, do you think this was better before they changed it or after? Yes or no? I guarantee you everything would be all the way like it was better before. It was better before. Put it back the way it was before. Because unanimously, I think it wouldn't even be close.
There we go. We got to get our guy or X, whoever controls X out there, Big John. You got to put that poll out there. We'll find out.
Yeah,
you
like, vote on that. I can't believe how much has changed in football. I mean, yeah, the core.
Yeah, just in our lifetime, right?
What's that?
Just in our lifetime, or just even in the last, we'll say, what, decade?
Yeah, last decade.
Say in the last decade.
Yeah, last decade. Because, like, that's the thing is, so much has changed. At the core of the game is still there. And that's what's kind of keeping us kind of involved as either, no matter if you're an old school fan or new fan, but that's what's keeping your interest there. But the more and more we see every single year, it seems like, oh, they're trying to change this rule. Why? You know, they're trying to change it. Oh, guess what? The rule that they implemented a year ago didn't work, and it was stupid, and now they're changing it again, but not for the right reasons. They're changing it and just tweaking it. So I think that there's a lot of fans that would suggest strongly to put it back the way it was, you know?
Yeah.
Don't
see
it's going to happen, but.
Yes, we know, Joe. I mean, and like you say, I gripe about this all the time, you know, until I'm, you know, blue in the face and things. I don't like it to change. I know there's a lot of people that are on my side. I don't think I'm exactly exaggerating and being, you know, get off my lawn guy, but it was fine before, you know, and I get with some things you're trying to do for safety, but then on the other hand, you're trying to add more games. You're trying to make players, you know, fly overseas and still practice over there and stay overnights there and play in those conditions. But to be honest, a lot of those fields or the pitch aren't in great condition either. So you're opening them to other injuries and then also illnesses. In some of these other countries they decide to go to too, the regulations are a bit different too. You know what I'm saying? You think about that. You're opening them up to other different options and other different things to get injured, sick, or whatever. And for what? For money, for greed. and you're trying to say player safety, oh, yeah, we care about you guys. We'll do less practices, but we'll ship you across these three different game times this year. We'll make you play in a short game on a Thursday, then on a Monday night, then the next one you're going to be on Friday and Saturday. You know, it's like
by the way, we're going to add another game to the season, too.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? And it's like, you're telling me it's raining, but you're pissing down my back, right? Is that the way it is? You know what I'm saying? You're like, are you serious right now? And this is the issue I have with it. Just like that will bring us to our next one that people have a lot of different points of view about. Let us know in the comments, too, you guys. Drop those in the comments here. And by the way, before you guys do that, make sure you guys do like the video, subscribe to the video too. There you can just scan the QR code right there. That'll bring you right to Grumblings Media YouTube page. Become a subscriber. We've got already 11,000 plus there. So join in on the family. We love you guys out there. So join in on the fun and on the conversation. So that's right, Joe. The tush push, the big thing that got, again, tabled off because I think some people wanted to stay away from it. But really, you know, they're saying here that NFL owners couldn't decide to vote on it this past March because
language.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Like 16-16.
He's like, come on, guys. Somebody crossed the line here. But now the proposal has been slightly tweaked by the Packers again. They need a team to be that, you know, team to do it, which has been tweaked. It seems, you know, that maybe there's a chance they could pass here. From 1920, though, through 2005, the NFL had a rule in place that banned players from pushing or pulling a runner in any direction. So this type of rule has already kind of been here in that situation. Right. And that's essentially what this new proposal calls for. Teammates can no longer assist a runner except individually blocking opponents for him. So that's no more Saquon Barkley getting behind Jalen Hurts and pushing him across the line, things like that. Like the Eagles. The Eagles, you know, again, that's why it's called the tush push. They have such a high, turnover rate on this play. And they keep talking about injuries, though, again. And still, there are no injuries to this date on that play. This is another one we got heated about last time. There have been no injuries on this play, but they want to say for player safety.
And I mean, this is the thing, though, is like injuries reported and injuries that happen that aren't reported is a real thing. And we've seen players get hurt with this where they missed several plays and they came back. But, you know, the most recent one is Chris Jones tweaking his neck because he was trying to defend it a certain way and ended up getting injured and then left the Super Bowl and never returned. Now, some people are going to say, well, he didn't return because it was kind of out of reach and all that. This dude does not take games off. He's a gamer. So, and we've even heard, you know, even comments from Jason Kelce, the former all-time great center for the Eagles, saying that, you know, it was a huge reason why, part of the reason why he decided to retire, because he was taking a beating being on the bottom of that pileup. So, there are accounts that, yeah, they're not any major serious injuries that are reported or anything like that, but there's definitely injuries that happen that have bothered players, whether it be that game or in, you know, the following game that they have to play. They still play through it because a lot of guys play injured all season long. It's just not any major injury.
Well, I get that, but you're not going to report, I got a stinger, all of a sudden I got a cramp, or I got this, or I got hit in the neck, and I'm now sore, and I'm getting a massage on the sidelines, you know, because that's basically what he's getting done, too. That's not going to be like a reported injury. That's not a real injury. Right. They're talking about real injuries. But the thing is, what you're saying, though, too, I understand even when you're coming from the point of view. If you're coming from the point of view, though, the way you're talking about the guys who actually get low, who are in that scrum, that are creating that wall or that fighting force on that, you know, battleground, I would basically call it, then you would make a rule based on that. But the verbiage they're using is the fact that you're taking a player and moving him. This is what they want to focus on, the fact that a player can get behind the quarterback and help push them across. I don't think that is the most violent or more injury-prone point in that play. I think it is within the trenches and the scrum that goes on, because you see the guys get colliding, like you say, Chris Jones, you know neck, gonna, the bending over. You see guys leaning over their knees. You know, those offensive linemen, and there backwards. Isn't enough protection for offensive linemen ever. Yeah. You talk about protection for quarterbacks, you know, wide receivers, all this. But how many times are linemen, they're there to protect. They're here to guard or whatever. And from behind, they have a falling body land on them. Mm-hmm. You know, rip their Achilles or whatever, might hamstring something, and they're hit from behind and they don't see it coming. Then they're bent over backwards, and there's no other plays or any rules to kind of help protect them. And that's what I think is interesting about when they put this to vote now. It, the deciding factor or the thing they decide to change is moving another player with another player. So to me, that tells me that it's not about safety again. They're putting it in the name of safety. But I think it's, again, that teams haven't found a way exactly to stop the Eagles on this when they can't do it as well as them, so they want to eliminate this play.
Here's the thing. Just mentioned, like, it is in the trenches. That's where a lot of the injuries are occurring. And they're not major, but they're there. Here's the problem. Is you're going to have quarterbacks start getting their necks snapped. And I'm telling you right now, because the alternative is, and this is why I feel like this is going to pass. They are going to ban this play, just like they did years and years ago in the NFL for the same reason. They're going to do it because, you know, when you – it's only going to take one quarterback. So, like, most likely, if this continues, it'll be Jalen Hurts because they're the ones that do it the most.
He's the one that does it the most.
And have the highest success rate doing it because they do it well. Defenses don't do the same thing back at them because I'll tell you right now, if you put a middle linebacker and push him right up against Jalen Hurts, Hurts is going to get hurt, and then we're going to we got to stop this play because now we lost our quarterback for a few weeks. Like, but I just think it's one of these things where it's going to be brought up. It's being majorly pushed by Roger Goodell, as we originally reported in March.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is not just the only rule that Goodell wants wants gone. He wants it passed, and he's going to get the votes despite what everybody's saying. Like, oh, it's going to be pretty close. I think he only needs 24. That's it.
Yep.
He needs 24. He had 16 last time. I bet you from the time in March to now, he's turned some guys over to the other side just to get enough votes to get this thing done.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, again, I think that's awful suspect the way it is, but with the verbiage, they found the right thing to help get it passed, which, again, on your side, I think it will get passed probably too, because, again, they found a spot from 1920 to 2005. There was a rule already there that you could not move another player with a player, and you could only have to block in front of him to help create a hole. So the rules aren't even there. So it's basically kind of re-implementing it to eliminate this play. Now, if that's the part that they take out of it, Philadelphia can still implement this play, but in a different phase form. But still, that scrum will be there. That doesn't stop them from doing a scrum still. So will you still get those neck injuries? Will you still get those non-ones? Didn't stop that, though. This is what I'm talking about. All right, say you can't move a player now. Okay, so he can still do the scrum. He can still do quarterback sneak without somebody pushing him.
Right.
Still, those injuries can be there. So you really did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what I mean.
It's going to lead to more injuries.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's still, after all of this, it'll probably take somebody to have another serious neck injury, like Dennis Byrd, I think it was, back in the Jets, a while back, 20 years ago at least, maybe 30. We're getting old, Joe. 30 years ago thing, I think. Hit with his own teammate even. Neck injury, paralyzed, things like that. That's probably what it'll take with this scrum.
Here's the thing, is not even about this play, but more times than not, we've even seen critical neck injuries, not even doing this play, just in everyday play of football. We've seen guys get injured like that. So the chances do increase when you go into a scrum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at rugby players. They do that thing every single game.
Yeah.
And that is a brutal game. There's no helmet. There's no pads.
No helmet, no.
Like, these guys are just animals out there. And you can't tell me that nobody gets injured in rugby. Like, there's for sure there's injuries. They just they just juice them up and go again.
Yeah, yeah.
But like
they just they just lost their marbles a lot quicker.
Somehow,
so they
these
don't
guys
care.
Are still getting injured, whether it be your neck, whether it be your head. You know, we've seen concussions be a thing, and I think this just is going to heighten another. It's going to be another opportunity to get a different type of injury, whether it be shoulders, neck, head, something of that nature. And I feel like this is kind of one of those type of plays that it just heightens all that, you know, especially the guys that are on the bottom. That to me, that's like the biggest thing is like your center and your guards are really the ones that are taking all the brunt force because that's where you're going. You're going right up the middle. And then on the other side, the same thing. You've got D tackles and they're trying to hit, you know, and trying to push back. So I think it's just going to end up leading to other injuries, and that's probably going to be the most likely reason why they're going to kind of change this.
All right, yeah, yeah. So I mean, that's up. We will find out something, you know, tomorrow.
We're
going to
get a vote
week.
Either it's either going to happen tonight or tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, yeah. We shall see. So I mean, that will be more stuff to talk about on our show tomorrow night on the Football on the No Show. So. Yeah, keep it the gift that keeps on giving, the old owners' meetings, man, that they keep stretching
That's
out,
right.
And the old tush push. So yeah. Hopefully they keep it going until, you know, another couple of years. But onside kicks, Joe, we've had a few different debates on this one, too. This one, though, I feel like I'm not really against really now because they've already made that thing permanent, the new whatever, the ultimate kick or whatever the hell they freaking call it, the new thing. But under the new current rules, if they pass this through here, a team can only attempt an onside kick in the fourth quarter, and even then it can only attempt it if it's trailing. But this with this proposal here, a team could declare an onside kick at any point, not you know besides the fourth quarter. So I like that point now. They can still do it before the fourth quarter at any point as long as they're trailing still. So you can still keep the trailing thing in. But now they don't have to wait till the fourth quarter or whatnot. That leaves a little bit of surprise to it. I don't know if this means that they still have to announce it to the world again. Like, by the way,
yes.
Everybody, we're going to do an onside kick right now. Yeah, they are.
Yep. There's no secret.
You oh, my God. I think that's just stupid. But, you know, but under the current rule, every player on the kicking team except the kicker has to have their foot on the 34-yard line before they attempt an onside kick. But now with this new rule, if they decide to pass this, they'll be able to move up a yard closer to the 35-yard line, which actually puts them 3 feet closer and a bigger possibility to possibly recover the football here on an onside kick. So I like the fact that they've changed it. Now they can do it at any time. They still have to announce it, which is, I think, stupid. And then now they can line up another yard closer. So they have a greater opportunity to get it. So I feel like with this, everybody can be happy now, I guess. You know, like, dude, all right, it's safer. You have a greater chance of getting one now, even though, like, I told you, and I hate, and I shout to the end of the day. If you're behind in the game, it's because you're behind, and you took everything through this game, and you did not have a chance to take the lead. You had to play better. Don't give you all these opportunities like the whole lining up in like a fourth down, you know, situation and try and get the first down. Forget that. We're not doing that. This is so stupid. If you didn't do it within 60 minutes or whatever and try to control this game, that's on you. We don't need to give you a billion opportunities. But as far as this change, I think I could live with this one.
Yeah, you can either live with it or die with it. Because now that you're allowed to do onside kicks all game, literally all anytime you want, as long as you're trailing, you can do it as many times as you want. Now, if you don't convert, you're giving the team at midfield, you're just giving it to them right there. Every time you do this. So there's a risk, there's a major risk, but there also is a reward to also recover it, and now you're on their side of the field. So whatever. Like, even if they change this rule and they go with this, they pass it, it's not going to change nothing. I really don't think so. Like, this is their way of saying, oh, well, we made it a little easier because the goal is to change and improve the success rate, which is 6% last season, by the way. Six. That's it.
Which it should be.
By doing this, I don't feel like this is going to change the percentage at hardly at all, because I don't envision teams saying, okay, it's the first quarter, we're down by 10, let's go for an onsides. Because if you don't get it and the other team scores again, now you're down by 17. I think this is like one of these rules that they're going to change to try to make it better. And it's not going to have any effect at all. And they're going to be disappointed because it didn't have an effect. And we'll be talking about this yet again next year.
Yeah, I think after this, I wish it would just die. Yeah, because it is stupid. Because like you said, 6%. Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, you're behind. This is a Hail Mary pass that you're doing to try and get back into this game. Because you failed throughout the game. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. The opportunity. Like, oh my gosh. Like, how is this hard to understand? You know what I mean? And this is the problem, I think, with some of it is, again, I don't want to be old man or anything like this, but, again, a lot of people, again, with this whole – the same thing with the overtime rules. Hey, well, they didn't get a shot to get the offense on and score. What do you mean? Well, their defense was there. You stopped the freaking play. Stopped the other team. Well, maybe their defense isn't as bad, stuff like that. Like, well, you had all game to do it on your offense, and you did it.
Right.
Too bad.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Listen, I like the old school term, sudden death, for a reason.
Yeah.
When you get to overtime, it's sudden death. First team that scores, I don't care if it's a field goal or a touchdown, they should win. It's it. Your defense didn't do enough, or your offense didn't do enough to score. Like, so be it. Like, that's where it should end. So. All these little like kind of participation trophies.
Yeah,
like that's all these kind of rules are. Is like, hey, we'll still give you guys another shot. You know, maybe you'll get them the second time around because you'll get an opportunity. Like, let's stop doing all this stuff and just get back to real football.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Absolutely, getting back to real football. I love that. Joe, tell everybody again one more time what they can do to get more episodes like this show and then see more from Grumblings Media before we move into the next segment.
If you want to see great content like ours, it's very simple. Head over to Grumblings Media on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us while you still can, because it's a limited time offer. No, just kidding. It's absolutely free. It's anytime you want to do it. Really do appreciate everybody that has clicked that button. And that has, you know, give us a thumbs up, has commented. You know, when we go, we're live here, guys. We want you to be involved in the show, want you to be interactive with us. Make sure you drop down the comments section below. We'll definitely read your comment. We'll definitely give you a shout out. And other great shows like ours is on Grumblings Media. So make sure you check that out.
All right, Joe, absolutely. All right, so before we get into our next segment, we're going to be talking about NFC Conference win totals. Caesars Sportsbook put out one saying, you know, projecting how many wins the teams all the NFC from the highest to the lowest. And we're going to do a little high-low, whether we like it, we think the wins are going to be there or not. But before we get into that, I just want to bring up, because just recently the 49ers, you know, again, signed Kittle to his extension. They signed Fred Warner now, so he got his extension. He got paid, and now Brock Purdy again gets paid. We've been waiting forever on bated breath for Brock Purdy to get his extension, and there he is, finally $265 million contract over, 5 years, I think it is, Joe?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make him the highest paid, though.
But it's close. It's he's on average around $55 million. I mean, I'll say this. Like, I knew the Niners were going to sign him to a long-term deal. A lot of people did. Some people didn't want to believe it, but I understand for some of the people out there, like, well, Brock Purdy's not elite. No, he's not elite. Not many quarterbacks are elite, but Brock Purdy is just he's a really good quarterback for the 49ers. He's worked in Kyle Shanahan's system for years. He knows it like the back of his hand. He executes it really well. So they were going to lock him up. Now, the number, I think, is a little overpaid for Brock Purdy. definitely didn't expect him to get on average 55 a year, because now you're getting close to that Dak Prescott range. You know what I mean? A guy who's making on average 60 a year, which is insane to think about. But everybody talks about the quarterback market, and you have to pay your starter quarterback market money. We've seen this every single offseason. We've seen guys that, you know, at the end of their contracts, but the team, if the team doesn't have another answer, then they're kind of handcuffed where they got to make it work somehow. So this was the end result for the 49ers and Brock Purdy. This is what they ended up agreeing to. Niners are okay with it. They have to be, because they want to keep him. And, you know, they came to this agreement, and here we are, Niner fans. This is kind of one of those several deals that have already been agreed to, where John Lynch, the GM for the 49ers, said that he wanted to get these deals done before training camp was here. And now they've locked up key cornerstone pieces, like you mentioned, George Kittle, Fred Warner, and now Brock Purdy, your quarterback. So big-time deals that they got nailed down, done early, right? Because we've always complained about teams that don't get the deals done early. And now they've got those pieces in place. So you can say, you can hate the deal, but they have their guy for long term, and they're going to continue to build around him. And the 49ers are still one of those teams that are competitive.
Right. And again, I think people get afraid by the number. Right now, if you look at his contract, he's the seventh highest paid quarterback in the game. His $265 million deal includes $181 million guaranteed, averaging $53 million per year, which puts him in the company of Jared Goff, just above Justin Herbert. Maybe that's where people are, you know, kind of, you know, arguing. But he's around Jared Goff, Tua, and Trevor Lawrence, and Jordan Love's around there. So Jordan Love hits around 55, and Trevor Lawrence 55. So if you put it in like relativity to those guys, I don't mind where he is. I think that's a nice sweet spot. I think it's things like paying the next guy up, or paying this guy, which has kind of, you know, turned into this and unraveled to why we have Dak Prescott as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, you know, which I think is nuts. We talked about the same question with Dak Prescott. I think he's really good. I think he's very good. But again, he hasn't got you to that echelon.
He's not elite.
He's not elite. Joe Burrow, I say, even is elite.
Joe Burrow's elite.
Second, so he should be that number one guy right there. Josh Allen right there, too, as well. But that's 1, 2, and 3. So that should be your echelon with those guys.
Yeah.
And this is what happened with the Cowboys and why they're in the situation they're in right now. So I feel like the 49ers kind of played it in the right situation to where, like you said, you can still bring back Kittle. Fred Warner, he's the quarterback of the defense right now for those guys. Where people are disgruntled probably is the fact that Lamar Jackson is getting paid now less than Brock Purdy.
But that deal was done way earlier.
But it was done earlier, exactly.
That's just what happened. So I mean, as far as like the Niners and what they did, listen, they had to make tough decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, there's a reason why they let Deebo Samuel go.
Right.
Because they couldn't afford to keep everybody. They had to get rid of some big market guys in order to pull these deals off. And these are the tough decisions that teams face every single year with players that they want to keep. So, I mean, I would say that I'm still disappointed with what Brock Purdy got. I'm disappointed with Jordan Love got. I'm disappointed with Trevor Lawrence got. Like, I understand putting them in that realm because that's where the range is, but all those quarterbacks to me should not make the money they're making now. They have not proven that they deserve that kind of contract. And I think out of all of them, Brock Purdy deserves the money, but not at this number. Like, it still, to me, is too much for him. But, again, I get it. This is one of those things where, like, people are going to complain about it. And I understand whether you're a 49er fan or not or whatever. He doesn't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, you have to get the deal done if you don't have an answer behind them. You just have to.
Yes, yes.
You can't, because what are you going to do? Let's just say, for example, all right, we don't want to give Brock Purdy any money. we're going to let him walk after this year. Okay, fine. What are we doing? Oh, we're just going to draft a quarterback. Okay. What's the success rate for drafting a quarterback in the first round, everybody?
Right.
40%.
Mm-hmm.
It's not high.
Right.
You're going to miss more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yes.
It's not a good thing. So if you did do that and you draft your quarterback like you wanted and he doesn't pan out, guess what? Your team, whether you have all those pieces around him or not, that quarterback's not playing up to par. That means your team is going to be dragged backwards another 5 years until you find another QB. And, you know, it's sad to say, but it happens to some teams that make these poor decisions because they think they can still figure it out. So kudos to the Niners for getting all these deals done and Brock Purdy's locking him up. And now they're going to continue to move forward and you know, keep working towards that Super Bowl.
Right, and that's the thing. I think they had a good amount of cap space. I want to say they were second in cap space overall this season here for them. So they're able to work out those deals. He doesn't take the highest. They don't pay him the highest. They pay him around where it is. Like I said, that's like a real nice sweet spot. So he's still young. If you look at these other guys that are even in the realm or these upper parts of these contracts too, they're a bit older or even around that. But I think they're setting themselves up for the future, and I think they still have more to build with Brock Purdy. So I think this sets them in a good spot so then they can add some more weapons, build up, you know, help that defense just a little bit, and they're back at it. They're rocking and rolling. And whether you want to say he's a product of, you know, Kyle Shanahan's offense or whatever and this and that, blah, 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 okay, if it works, it works. You know, a lot of people thought, you know, Tom Brady was, you know, the product of Bill Belichick's offense and all this and blah, or, you know, whatever they do, which I think part of it was, but Tom Brady has a different edge. And I would say this is why people knock on Brock Purdy, because I'm not calling Tom Brady Brock Purdy here. Everybody hold off a second before you start ripping my head off. You see, everybody says that the difference that you saw last year was the game changer. I said it, and you know, because we talked about it even last year. For me, it was that Super Bowl. That's when I saw the difference. When the chips were down, you were still getting pressure, so I think some of it was on Shanahan to make adjustments still that he didn't, or even why he went away from running the ball, which Christian McCaffrey was running the ball astronomically. That should have just been the game plan the whole freaking time. I don't know why he got changed back and set back and drop back and pass. But Brock Purdy taking on the pressure and things in big moments didn't live up to the big moment. And I think that's the game changer, and that's why he kind of changed the view of Brock Purdy. It wasn't just last year, he had injuries, so then he didn't have the weapons, so what did he do then? You know, he had this many interceptions, blah, 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 and this. I don't think that was all of it either. I think it was the year prior to that that kind of changed it, but I don't change my view exactly on how I see Brock Purdy. I still think he's good. He's around that realm. I say he's better than Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if he's better than Jordan Love, but he's around there.
I would say right now he is.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, because he's a little more – he's definitely more efficient. Jordan Love still has more even to prove. He's still fresh even. So I think right now the contract I think was good. I like it because, again, some of those teams that are up there again, I don't see those teams going anywhere. Cowboys are not going anywhere. Why? Because you overpaid. Because you do all this, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Josh Allen, did it themselves financially. Mm. It's not just the Dak Prescott signing.
Right. And it's you talk about, right, but you even talk about when you look at contracts, they can't even, you know, change it. Like, oh, well, this guy's better. This guy, he doesn't get paid this. How many years did Tom Brady lead the league, you know, in money? Average money? Never? I don't think he ever made the most money in the NFL. No.
He averaged $15 million
right.
every
he
contract.
Took whatever was best for the team.
That's what he did.
Went with it to win. A lot of players aren't going to do that. So I think this is kind of.
No players are doing
that. Yeah. So that's why I think this is kind of like an in the between kind of thing to where there's some flexibility still. They got some key things done, and I think it still will work out. And like I said, they could be overpaying, but that's what everybody does these days. So let us know in the comments to give everybody what you think.
There's still smarter teams out there that work around the cap and everything to make it.
To make it
kind of work out both ways.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
So I think the Niners, good for them for getting all these deals done. But again, they get all these deals done now, and all these players, they're not getting any younger. So it might come back to where they might be hurting, you know, a few years down the road.
The thing is, it's for them, I don't really see them hanging on to a lot of older guys. They've let some older guys go. They maybe kept a few. Like I said, they're a few key cogs. Everybody else they've let go, you know. So I think that's the big difference with them as opposed to some other teams, like the Cowboys again, which just keep hanging on. And you know, then you're already too old and out of it, out of touch. So let us know in the comments what you guys think. We appreciate you guys watching the show. One more time out there, too, for you guys. There's the QR code. Just make it simple. Yeah, right there on your phone, you can just scan it and bring it right there, too. Just hit the like, hit the subscribe button out there, and comment. Let us know you're out there, whatever you guys think about what we're talking about. Whether you hate it, you love it, we don't care. We'll talk about it. So we appreciate you out there. So let's get down to the last segment we're going to talk about, Joe. We're going to just roll through this quick. It's going to be shot put here. Now, this is by Caesars Sportsbook, okay? And these are the win totals here that they have, all right? So I'm just going to read through it. I'm going to go by just the teams with the highest and then go down to the lowest, all right? So the first team I say is going to be the highest win total. And as we go, I'm just going to ask you, I'm like, you like it? Should it be higher? Or you think it's going to be lower, all right?
Yep.
Okay, let's get into it. First of all, the Philadelphia Eagles, they're there, right, number one with 11 wins here, the highest amount right here. Eagles, 11 wins, higher or lower? Or
higher.
Just right. Higher, you think they're going to have more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I think higher is a good one. I think that they're so good right now, and there's a lot of
they don't have any hate
in the NFC. They don't have hold. And like I said, there's a bit of a drop-off, I think, until you get to them. You saw how efficiently they took on the Chiefs, where, yes, the Chiefs didn't play as well as they, you know, we've seen them last, like all of last year, but they dismantled them at all phases of the game. And that's what's dangerous about this team. They're good on all phases. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And every year they'd make the right decisions, and then they just replenish with younger, fresher guys that perform. And again, so they never lose out. It's scary. It's ridiculous. So
yeah, they for can them play to make a brand back-to-back,
who knows? Maybe that's
physical.
The next bet.
They can play finesse. They can do it all. So,
all right, next we've got the Commanders. The Commanders at 10.2 wins. All right, that, you know, sports books. Higher? All right, yeah. So you think that the Commanders are going to have higher.
Yeah, I mean, look at the improvements they made with their team already.
Yeah.
Whether it be free agency or draft. So, yeah, give me higher because you already have the quarterback nailed down. Now it's just the defense has got to catch up to the offense.
I'm going to have lower because I have them at 10. I wouldn't go any more than 10. I think 10 is a good spot. I think they're going to have the same amount of wins. Yes, they did get better, but some other teams, especially in their division, got a bit better too. So I think it's going to be a tougher out. Some people got a little more tape on Jaden Daniels. I think they're a really good team, but they're saying 10 wins. I like it. I like 10 wins. So that 0.2 throws me off. I got to go under. Take any other. All right, the Lions next at 10. Joe, what do you think?
Lions will go higher.
Higher? All right. Mm. Yeah, this is going to be tough. Again, tough division. I think teams in their division are going to get better. I think the Bears are going to get a little bit better. So 10 wins. I like this spot. I like dead even right here at 10. I don't think it's going to be any higher. I like 10 wins right here. It's tough. I'm interested to see what's going to happen when they lose now their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. Still got a great head coach. Still got a lot of good players. So next we've got the 49ers at 9.9. wins for the wins total, Joe. 9.9. Do we go 10?
No. Go no. Lower.
Oh, boom. All right, so you're going lower on the 49ers. Yeah, I think this one's going to be a tougher out, too. I don't see them bouncing back as this fast like some people have said. You know, last year they had injuries here and there and stuff like that, but still,
yeah, that's
you lost a lot, though, too, and you did this year, so I'm interested to see what's going to happen with this division getting tighter, too, with the Cardinals and everybody. I think 49ers are going to be maybe 9-8 wins or something like that. So I think it's definitely less than 9.9. So there you go. The Rams, 9.7.
Oh, man. I say higher. Mm-hmm. I think the Rams are going to do really well this year.
I think the Rams are going to be higher, too, again. I think they're the cream of the crop of that division, again. They're tough. They're scary out. Now they got Devontae Adams. Oh, my gosh. I like the Rams, too, as well, above, too, as well. All right, the Buccaneers, 9.7 as well, Joe. Bucks.
Ooh. Hmm. I'll go higher. I'll have them going to 10 wins, but they'll be higher than 9.7.
Yeah, I'm going to go higher too as well. I'd say maybe 10, maybe as well, just to be safe, maybe 11. That division is still pretty bad. I think the Falcons will be better. I think the Panthers will be a little bit better too, but the Saints, they're just a lost cause this year. So I'd say it's two easy wins right there for the Bucs. Next, we've got the Packers at 9 wins. Packers, yo.
I'll stay right there with 9 wins.
All right. I'm going to go with 9 wins too as well. Again, always a playoff contender. Always going to play hard. This could be a little tougher division. So I think they had more than 9 wins last year. I'm going to say 9 this year is good. All right. Bears, 8.9. Do you think the 8.9, the Bears can get 9 wins here?
I'll go lower.
Lower?
I'm not buying the Bears offense. I don't care what they have. They've got tons of receivers. They did improve the offensive line. But Caleb Williams, to me, is still Caleb Williams until I see anything different.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree, too. I think it really, again, this is another team to where they're like, oh, you know, the Bears, they saw a lot of different good spots here. They look good. But now they've got Ben Johnson. Now they got one. Now they're going to do it. And they're going to turn around like this. I don't think it's going to be.
Number two is that they got to learn a new offense.
Quick turnaround. Right.
Too. Like, this is going to be the first year under Ben Johnson's offense. And I don't know, you know, how difficult his playbook is or the audibles that they have to call. So there, it might be a little bit of a learning experience for Caleb Williams all over again.
Right. Yeah, I think so, too. And it's going to be it's a tough division to play in, too. So, I mean, there's going to be some rough games here. So that being at 8.9, I'm not going to go 9 to beat this. So I'm going to go under and say maybe they'll even have 8 to 7 wins if they're lucky. So next, let's go to the Vikings. They got them at 8.7.
Yeah.
It's another tough one.
I'm going to say lower just because J.J. McCarthy is the unknown at quarterback. And unless he shocks the world, I don't see them winning a ton of games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I agree with you, too, as well. I mean, you know, I'm a big Michigan fan, J.J. McCarthy. I love the fact that he's there with, you know, Justin Jefferson in the Vikings. But, again, coming off the injury, his rookie season basically here, you know, to play. We don't know. There's a lot of the unknown. He's trying to spend a lot of time with Justin Jefferson, get that relationship going. But, you know, who knows? So it's a figure-it-out year. I mean, we were surprised with what happened with Sam Darnold last year. But this one, I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think they're going to be vying with the Bears to try and stay out of the basement in this division. So I'm going to go under 8.7 as well. It's an easy one. The Seahawks next at 8, even, Joe. Ooh. Now it's Sam Darnold. No Geno.
Right. Right. I'm going to go lower.
Ooh.
I'm going to go lower.
Ooh, lower. Yeah.
I like McDonald's defense. Like, they're pretty solid. They got a good defense going there. But offensively, man. Dude, now you don't have Geno anymore, which if you're comparing Geno Smith to Sam Darnold, Geno's better.
At least right now, he showed more.
And, dude, I think it's going to be tough for Seattle's offense.
Right, right. And I agree. I say lower than 8, too, as well.
They traded DK Metcalf.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're letting go, you know, some weapons. And, yeah. Yeah, Sam Darnold, again, I don't think he proved a lot in that, especially that playoff game. He came right into his shell. So he started seeing ghosts again, you know. So I think that's the main factor here and not, you know, keeping Geno around who, again, when those times got tough, he stepped up. He's a fighter. He goes all out in all of it, and I don't really see that in Sam Darnold. The Cardinals here, 8. They have 8 as well. Cards, they're a good team.
I'm probably going to just stay at 8.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go higher or lower because they surprised the hell out of me last season when they really didn't have much to begin with.
Yeah. You
know, now that they've had another offseason to go through and add some more talent, but they're just not quite there yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they get 8 wins, but I would be surprised if they get to like 9 or 10.
Yeah. I mean, they're at 8, it's tough for me because I think they're a good team again. I think they drafted well. You know, they got some good talent for value where they drafted. And they're an up-and-coming team last year. Another year with Gannon I think is going to be good for them. But eight, I think that's kind of where they sit. So I'm going to sit even here at eight, too, as well, and be like an 8-9 team. But I wouldn't be surprised if they do get, trying to fight for this division here, maybe placing second here in this division, and the 49ers take that back seat. But next we've got the Falcons here. They have them at 7.9, Joe.
Really? I'm going to go higher with the Falcons at 7.9.
Ooh, higher.
I'm going to go higher with them because I really do think Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the answer for the Falcons. There's just no doubt about it in my mind. Again, it's going to come down to the offensive play calling because that's kind of like Atlanta's thing. They've never really had a really good offensive play caller, and hopefully now they can kind of figure that out with Penix. So they got the young talent. Now they got a young quarterback. They got a good old line. No more excuses. Got time to put points on the board.
Yep. Yeah, by the way, that's a great show. If you guys want to follow some more shows here on Grumblings Media, Points on the Board is another sports political show. So selfless plug there. I'm sorry. But, I think I agree with you here, too. Again, I'm not as high on the Falcons, but still, if you're looking at it, it's 7.9. I'll push that 8. I'll say they get 8 wins here on this one. I don't think they're going to go 10 wins, though, and stuff like that. I'm still feeling them out. I've been burned by them before, Joe. They're one of those teams that just burns me. So I'm going with 8 wins on that one. Cowboys, 7-9. What do you think about this one? Now we're getting to the NFC least here.
I say lower.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to hate on the Cowboy fans.
Oh, you're a hater.
I'm just saying, here's the bottom line.
One big pile of shit.
It is one big pile of shit in the running back category because they still didn't fix it. They drafted Jaden Blue, Texas. Mm-hmm. He's not an every down back, so you still don't have an answer at running back, just like last season. And you might have invested in the offensive line, but okay, you traded for a wide receiver and George Pickens. Dude, when is Steven Jones now? When are they gonna learn? You can't build with flashy wide receivers all the time, and you got to complete the trenches. You got to build from the trenches out, and they haven't been able to do it. So I don't think I still don't think they're going to have much of a run game, which is going to make them one-dimensional just like last season. And whether you have Dak or not, it's going to hurt their offense. So I say lower.
Right. I agree, too. I'm going to say lower, too, as well, because, again, they focus a bit on the air game, not the running game, and not their defense. So I think they're going to have to score a lot of points, and Dak, for the last couple of years, hasn't stayed healthy. And besides that, they don't have a backup plan behind Dak. Nothing that's impressive. The guy that they had, they offended him, and he walked out. And he went somewhere else. So, I mean, that's a bad deal for the Cowboys. So, next up, we've got down the bottom of the barrel here. We've got the Panthers at 7 wins. But still, even they only have the Panthers at 7. See, that's what I think is kind of funny with these win totals. There's got to be a loser somewhere. Like, how do these teams at the bottom say 7?
I feel like they're going to be higher.
Right.
I think the Panthers are going to be higher. Like, you saw Bryce Young take some time off from being a starter, learn under a vet, and then when he got his opportunity back, he looked better. So if he can take another step, even if it's a small step forward this year, he's going to be a good quarterback for them. And the fact that they've implemented young wide receivers got in place, they have a young offense altogether, much like Atlanta, that now, as long as the defense can kind of pick up the pace on that side of the ball, they should get at least 8 wins, I feel like.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I'm going to say that they at least they'll have probably 6 wins. They'll get 2 more wins than they did last year. I think they're still a work in progress. I think they did do things to get better. But, again, I'm not sold after half a season that Bryce Young is now. It's like, all of a sudden, he's going to be better. So I think it's still a work in progress. We'll see, feel it out. If they do better, hey, why not? But I don't think even they're going to get better than 7. I think 7 is probably their cap, if anything. So moving on here, we got the last two teams, New York Giants here, they have this. So my Giants, they don't have last, which is amazing for me. But they've got them here at 5.9 wins, Joe. What do you think?
Higher.
All right, higher. What, 6 wins?
They're going to be higher. Bro, right. Like, I don't understand how – that's, like, the most lopsided amount of wins for a team. Like, a team that has dramatically improved. Like, they got the quarterback situation solidified.
Right.
You know, I understand they still only really have Malik Nabers as mm-hmm. a legitimate threat on that mm-hmm. side of the ball. But maybe somebody else emerges, you know, and surprises some people. You know, we talk about Jalen Hyatt a lot and, like, where is this guy? Why did he disappear since being drafted? And the guy wasn't drafted in the seventh round. The guy was drafted like a third-round pick.
Right.
So, you know, they view him as maybe a potential starter. Now it's time to give him an opportunity. I feel like this could be the year for him to kind of break the mold and take a step forward. And you look at what they've done overall, offensive mm-hmm. line, backfield, Tyrone Tracy and Cam the Ram. Now there, defense, we already talked about how they made a critical addition with the safety, a critical addition with Paulson Adebo at corner. Like, this team, people might laugh about the Giants and say, oh, they're going to be the laughingstock yet again. I wouldn't be so sure about it in a division where it's kind of, you know, the Cowboys are kind of leaving that door open now to where the Giants could come marching in and possibly steal a few more wins than 5.5 or whatever the hell they got.
Yeah. 5.9. So just under 6.
I think the Giants will end up getting 7 or 8.
Yeah. I think they have a shot too. Again, because what you said, quarterback situation, is already way better. Like, people are looking at the team. Like, I think that, like, they still have Daniel Jones. You know what I mean? They're kind of like, oh, it's just Malik Nabers in this offense again. Okay, but now you've got Russell Wilson, who's shown that he can throw it, you know, at least even the deep ball to get some other guys. And he's been working with Wandale Robinson. He's been a big target for him lately, too. So that could be scary mm-hmm. if you get Wandale, you know, to his potential that, you know, with the crazy moves that he's got on top of it with Malik Nabers. And then maybe we have a Jalen Hyatt sighting somewhere. That shows something. And that defense is good, especially even with what they just – the additions, like you said. That's a surprise team right there. I think that could be so much better. And I think people are just kind of looking at the past, how they've been, and now just terrible. And then reminiscent. They kind of got it stuck in their head. They got to wipe it clean. Like, hey, let's just wipe it. You know what I mean? Because, again, quarterback situation, way better. Way better. So next we've got finally here the Saints at 5.3, Joe. The Saints, what do you think?
Lower.
There you go.
They're coming in with either a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback that didn't show much last year. So, man, what a terrible year to be a Saint. Because this is a team that went from the pinnacle when you had all those great players and you had Sean Payton as your coach. And even after him leaving, the team was pretty still competitive. They still had some key pieces there.
You had the leftovers still.
But now with Derek Carr retiring at quarterback, and now you're basically forced to drafting one of these quarterbacks. They choose Tyler Shook, thinking that he can step in and play right away. And, man, it's a rough one. Guys that have continued to get injured every year in the receiving core. There's rumors even now about Chris Olave possibly being moved, you know, in a trade. So things aren't going too well in New Orleans, let's say the least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I agree, too. I think it's going to be lower. I don't believe in any of their quarterbacks that they have. So, again, you saw the difference when Carr was out, and now that Carr's not going to be there. I mean, like I said, I feel bad. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if you see something with some of these older veterans and stuff like that. They're like, all right, I just want to be done or whatever. Just, you know, walk away from the game after this one. It'll be rough time for the Saints. You know, they've had such a good, you know, run for the last, you know, decade mm-hmm. or so and all that winning, but it's time for them, I think, to have a few dark ages here for them.
Right.
But maybe with Kellen Moore, though, they can turn around pretty quick, though, but just ain't this season. All right, Joe, that's it. That's it for our show tonight. We really appreciate everybody tuning in again. There's the QR code again that will bring you right to Grumblings Media, the YouTube page. Make sure you guys like the video, comment on the video. Even if you're a little shy live to do it right now, that's fine. You can comment afterwards, you know, whatever you want to do. But make sure you like it. Make sure you subscribe to the channel so then you hit the notification bell, let you know whenever we go live. That's not even this show, but others like us here. So check out other shows too as well. We are the best. I'm not being biased about this, but this is the best show on Grumblings Media, just to let you know. But if you want to check out others, that's fine. There's a lot of great shows there too as well. But we are the best. All right, Joe, thank you so much. Another good show. I'll see you tomorrow night for the Football on the No show. And then everybody else, I will see you guys, and Joe will,